Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're tackling something, well, with somebody that sounds almost fantastical, but the sources you sent over are, frankly, fascinating.
They really are.
We're talking about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny, and the question that emerges from these documents is, could they actually be the same entity?
It sounds absolutely wild on the surface, I know, but when you look at these declassified Office of Seasonal Intelligence memos and then you pair them with the very dedicated research from Snickers Duchesne.
Right, this investigator.
Exactly. A picture starts to form that's, well, surprisingly coherent. It's not just forum chatter.
No, definitely not. We've got these official-looking, though redacted, memos side by side with years of private investigation notes. So our mission today, as you laid out, is to unpack this evidence.
Yep.
Explore the arguments, look at the connections, and just see, you know, how compelling is this theory, really?
Let's do it. Where should we start? Maybe the flight patterns. That seems pretty concrete.
Yeah, good starting point.
Yeah.
The OSI memos, they mention NORAD radar data from back in 1968.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what really jumps out is that on December 24th and on April 8th that year, they tracked very similar high-altitude craft.
Doing these physics-defying maneuvers, as the memo puts it, one delivering gifts, the other delivering, well, eggs.
Exactly. So you have two supposedly different figures pulling off the same impossible aerial feats just a few months apart.
That's more than just a coincidence, wouldn't you say? It's a pattern.
It feels like a significant piece, yeah.
Which
kind of leads naturally into the next point from the documents, this disguise theory.
Ah, yes, the CIA psychological analysis, quite something.
Right. It suggests the Easter Bunny persona is, and I'm quoting here, a soft propaganda campaign.
The basic idea being to give Santa Claus, let's call him the primary operative, plausible deniability for activities outside of, you know, the main Christmas season, Q4.
So the bunny ears, the pastel colors, the eggs, it's all misdirection. A spring camouflage.
That's the theory presented. A way to maintain the Santa Claus brand integrity for December while still allowing for joy distribution in the spring.
It sounds incredibly elaborate, though. Why not just, you know, have two separate operations? What's the strategic advantage of one figure doing both under disguise?
Well, the analysis suggests operational efficiency, maintaining the core mythos of Santa specifically for Christmas, and maybe controlling the narrative year-round. The candy is framed as sort of a tasty decoy, too.
Okay. Okay. I can see the logic, even if it's complex.
Uh-huh.
But psych profiles are one thing.
Right up.
What about physical evidence? The marshmallow factory. That sounds more tangible.
It does. The OSI memo talks about USDA inspectors finding hair samples. Sort of an accidental discovery, apparently, in a marshmallow mixer. Specifically, Peeps.
Peeps. Okay, so just contamination or...
Well, that's where it gets interesting. This was back in 93. They apparently used what the memo calls retroactively approved CRISPR tech for DNA testing.
Right.
And the hairs matched Arctic deer species found only near Lapland.
Lapland. Okay, wow. So Santa's reindeer, their DNA in Easter candy. That's a pretty direct link. Hard to just brush that off as like a stray hair from a worker's vacation photo or something.
It certainly raises questions, doesn't it, about supply chains, logistics. And it doesn't stop there. The OSI files also mention this Unified Behavioral Database.
Oh, yeah. The one codenamed S-N-E-A-K-Y. Seriously.
S-N-E-A-K-Y. Run on an NSA black budget server, apparently.
Okay, so what does S-N-E-A-K-Y do? Besides sound sneaky.
According to the logs they got through FOIA, it seems to track eligibility for both Santa's gift deliveries and Easter Bunny egg hunts.
One database for both naughty nice lists, essentially.
That's what it looks like. Think about it. Why maintain two entirely separate, highly complex global surveillance systems tracking children's behavior if the operations were truly distinct?
Good point. It suggests a single management structure, single... Well, authority.
Exactly. Resource optimization.
Which then brings us to the elf whistleblower. This adds a whole other layer.
It really does. This testimony from 2002 before the Seasonal Oversight Committee. A retired elf, the memo suggests, maybe named Larry.
Larry the elf. Okay.
And he apparently had some complaints, specifically mentioning the itchy bunny suit.
He complained about the bunny suit being itchy.
And also, apparently, the unsustainable jelly bean distribution model.
Wow. Okay, so that's not just blurring the lines. That's an employee complaining about cross-functional duties, basically. Wearing the uniform for the other department.
Pretty much. It hints at shared personnel, maybe even seasonal role swapping. It grounds the theory in operational reality in a strange way.
Absolutely. Okay, so that covers a lot of the OSI stuff. Let's pivot to Snickers Duchesne.
Hmm.
His research seems to come at this from a different angle, more philosophical.
Yeah, Duché's perspective is broader. He basically argues that thinking of them as separate is, quote, naive. He talks about a symbiosis of mythos.
Symbiosis of mythos. I like that.
He points to the obvious shared characteristics, the fur, delivering joy, working at night.
And what's really interesting is how his observations, sometimes decades old, seem to anticipate or align with what's in the OSI files,
right,
like that 1977 journal entry.
Right, the interview with the Lapland stablehand, who mentions seeing Lap and the rabbit testing out sled routes in the springtime.
Lapin.
And Duché's interpretation was, well, maybe that wasn't some other entity. Maybe that was Claus himself prepping for Easter.
Testing the sled for egg delivery under the bunny alias. It fits the pattern.
It does. And then there's the glitter connection he found in 84.
Oh, yeah, the glitter. Seems trivial, but...
But finding the exact same brand of glitter in both Christmas tinsel and plastic Easter grass, traced to one supplier in Dusseldorf.
That points to a shared procurement process, at the very least. A common source for festive materials.
Definitely suggests overlap. And then there's that more personal anecdote Duché recorded in 1986.
My muttering.
Yeah, apparently overhearing Claus himself grumbling about how much he hated putting on the ears.
Huh. Okay, that just makes it seem real. You can almost picture it. A bit of occupational weariness with the disguise.
It adds a certain, yeah, relatable quality to this whole grand theory. And Duché, he wasn't shy about it. His 1992 letter to Le Monde.
What did that say?
He basically blasted the skeptics, arguing you can't just dismiss this deep connection based on quarterly fiscal reports and seasonal marketing strategies. He felt something more profound was being overlooked.
Like, don't let the commercialization hide the truth.
Pretty much. And even official channels seemed to notice something was up. That State Department cable from Finland.
Right. The ambassador noted that the locals were kind of cagey about talking about Claus in the spring.
Yeah, reluctant. But they'd sort of quietly acknowledge his return on costume animalier. In animal costume.
Wow. So, like, a known secret among the locals closest to the source?
It suggests a kind of tacit understanding, perhaps, beyond the official stories.
Okay, so anecdotes, official docs. Did Duché look at anything more, like, scientific?
He did draw some parallels. He noted identical chemical markers in egg dye and the coating used on North Pole candy.
Again, small detail, big implication, common chemistry.
Right. Shared tech or ingredients. And he also made this quite fun comparison between what he called the chaotic distribution principles of reindeer games and egg hunts.
Chaotic distribution principles. Love it.
He pointed out they both involve frantic searching, misdirection, lots of running around, and apparently a statistically significant number of glitter-related injuries.
Anyone who's seen a kid's egg hunt or heard tales of the North Pole workshop can probably confirm the chaos factor.
And finally, he charted it out. He observed a distinct dip in reported Claus sightings during Easter week, coinciding perfectly with a spike in Easter Bunny sighting.
One logs off as the other logs on, basically.
It strongly implies one entity managing its public appearances, you know, not two operating independently.
It really does build a compelling picture.
And Duché summed it all up so well with that line, where one sees two silhouettes in the snow, the wise see, but one wearing different hats.
Or different ears, maybe. So, okay, recapping here. We've looked at the OSI memos, Duché's research.
Yeah.
We've got identical flight patterns, this plausible if elaborate disguise theory, reindeer DNA popping up in peeps, a shared behavioral database called SNEAKY, an elf complaining about his bunny suit, and all these observations from Duché tying glitter, chemistry, and even local folklore together.
It's a lot of convergence, isn't it? From quite different kinds of sources.
It really is. So we've laid out the evidence presented in the materials. Now, as always, we turn it over to you, our listeners.
What do you make of all this? Do these points convince you? The flight data, the DNA, the database, the Uchi suit? Does it suggest a single, multifaceted holiday figure?
Yeah, what does your gut tell you? And maybe the bigger question is, if they are connected, if Santa is the Easter Bunny, what does that actually mean for us?
Does it change how we think about these traditions, about the magic itself?
Is the magic lessened, or is it maybe even amplified? The idea of one source managing all that wonder.
Something to ponder, perhaps, as you find yourself amidst the tinsel or the plastic grass next time.
Definitely something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.